In re the marriage of Vandal.
May it please the court, David Zuckerman representing Jay Vandal. My paralegal, Hugh Stoney, is here at council table as well. I'd like to have 3 minutes for rebuttal, please. And I will focus first on the issue of the double counting of the business bank accounts and perhaps also get to the characterization of the business. In this case, the trial court counted the money in Mr. Vandal's bank account twice. First, the court approved a value of the of Mr. Vandal's business, which included the cash in his three business bank accounts.
As of what date?
As of the end of the year, the end of 2014. Later, in the course of valuing other, you know, all the other assets, the court separately valued the same business accounts.
As of what date?
In that case, it was August 2. So five.
How do we know it's the same money?
Well, of course, it isn't exactly the same money. This is an ongoing business. Money is coming in and out of the business on a daily basis. So, of course, you're going to have, any time you have two different dates to value the amount of money in a business account, they're always going to be somewhat different.
So if the balances were different on December 31st and August 20th, would at least a delta be available to the court?
I'm sorry, what would be available?
The difference between the two balance amounts, since they're on different dates, would the delta be available?
Oh, the difference. Well, I think what you're saying is, could you average the two numbers?
No, I'm not averaging it. There's $10,000 in the bank account on December 31st. There's $25,000 in the bank account in August. $15,000 more. Is the $15,000 available for distribution?
Well, I haven't thought of it exactly that way.
Well, shouldn't you?
And
I mean, I care about how much money's in that account if I'm saying it's the same account, don't I? Not just that it's the same account number.
Well, I mean, you have to, you know, typically you have to pick some date to value an asset.
Sure, but don't you also have to account for any increased money that's available at the later date?
Well, in fact, at the later date, there was less money in the account rather than more money. But what the court did here was add them together, which made no sense at all. You're getting, you have the same... it's true that the numbers were a little different at the two different dates.
Any money drawn out of that account between those two dates?
That is true.
Where did it go?
It is true that the court actually found that there were violations of the restraint.
Let me just make up another set of facts. There's $15,000 in the account on December 31st. $50,000 is withdrawn from that account between January 1st and August 20th. And on August 20th, there's only $10,000 in the account. Should we reduce the value of the business by $5,000 because there's less money in the bank account on that second date?
Should we reduce it? I don't know that. I think the most
Well, the problem with both of those arguments or examples I've given you is there's a whole bunch of money that's gone somewhere else in between that somebody got the benefit of.
And that may be true, but you have to pick, you know, some consistent way to measure it. Now, it's true that there was, in fact, even the court finding that there was some use of monies that should not have, that were violating the restraining orders, but that was dealt with by the court thoroughly. The court, through using judgments against Mr. Vandal and or through simply crediting him with the full value of an account as it was at the date of separation, even though the money was no longer in there. So the court dealt with that issue of money being spent that shouldn't have been
spent.
So
is there any evidence in the record as to whether the balance of the monies in the accounts that were awarded all came into those accounts after the date of the business valuation?
Well, the business valuation was the later date.
I thought the business valuation was at the end of the year, and the bank account balances were the following August.
No, the other way around, the preceding August.
Is there any evidence to tell us whether or not the money that came into the bank account and the money that went out of the account, the difference between those two, was greater or less than the balance at year end?
The balance was lower at year end, okay. somewhat lower.
How
than
much
it,
money came out of the account? Does that account for the difference, or was there also, were there also deposits?
Oh, I think it was going, like I said, you know, it was an ongoing business. It was going
if
up and down.
You only want
and
the account count at once. Shouldn't you provide the court with the information as to what went on in that account between those two dates?
Well, that was not done with any other asset in, that the court valued.
Well, you don't have money going in and out of most assets. My car doesn't have money going in and out of it. My house doesn't have money going
right.
in and out of it, except the extent I either refinance or pay down the loan.
Right. And the court did not suggest that it was going to make such
I just have a real problem with saying these are the same baskets having the same value when you're putting money in and out of them for a period of months in between two dates.
All right, I will reserve the rest of my time.
You didn't want to ask anything.
Try to keep the coughing down.
May it please the court, Valerie Villison for the respondent, Stephanie Ferguson. We ask the court to affirm the trial court's decision in its entirety and award attorney fees on appeal to the respondent. I'll address the double counting issue. I think, Judge Leach, you got it head on. The trial court.
Actually, the goodwill issue is more interesting to me.
Yeah, I thought the goodwill issue was. would you like me to address that? Well, I do want to just say one thing about
the
double counting.
You can say what you want about it, but I hope you get to the goodwill issue.
I will. I just want to say one thing about the double counting, just to point out that there were $300,000 deposited in those accounts between the time of separation and the time the trial court valued it. So there is no evidence that this is the same funds that are being counted twice, especially if you consider the reason that the trial court had actually awarded the husband these accounts as of the date of separation. She found that there was violations of the order, the financial restraints, and at CP240, she says about $130,000was withdrawn from these accounts. So the fact that she was awarding them at 159 as the date of separation, and what actually is 147, because again, there's actually no evidence that the cash that was being valued were the cash in these accounts, because if you actually look at the statements, and those are exhibits 24, 25, and 26, there's actually $147,000, not $122,000. But I'm going to move on to the characterization.
So is your assertion that he hasn't carried a burden he had to trace the funds to show they were different funds?
Correct. And actually, the trial court invited him to do so because the issue was raised during presentation and said, if you want to, you know, move for reconsideration addressing this issue only, you know, go ahead and the other expert, Steve Kessler, can address whether or not this is in fact double counting. And he didn't do that.
Thank you.
As for the characterization issue of the business, I think the best way of approaching this is using the framework of marriage of Lindemann from this court. Because in that case, just like this, the business started as a separate property, no doubt. But the question is whether or not the community established an interest in it over the ensuing 14 years. And in Lindemann, the court held that the burden is on the spouse seeking to establish community interest, which is the wife in this case. And what they need to prove is that the community income and separate property business income were commingled and that the increased value of the business belongs to the community. And the trial court found that the wife met this burden by clear, cogent, and convincing evidence. First, by the fact that the funds were commingled throughout the account. This wasn't a case where the husband paid himself an adequate salary, kept it aside, and kept a separate business.
So that piece of the argument would be that part of the earnings attributable to husband's labor were retained by the corporate within the corporation, and so in that way, community assets were commingled with separate assets.
Correct.
Okay. Could you address the concept that the goodwill in this business wasn't a stagnant asset, but one that required renewal, and the method of its renewal was the exercise of community labor to meet with homeowners associations and maintain relationships with boards that were turning over?
Sure. Marriage of Sedlock from this court actually this court didn't actually define goodwill this way, but they were citing to one of the expert witnesses, talked about goodwill is a wasting asset. You know, the only way to maintain it is a continual renewal and, you know, you have to nurture it. And in this case, the husband testified that, you know, he wasn't sitting on his laurels of, you know, he had this business for 10 years prior to the marriage. He had to go out there every year and shake hands to nurture the existing relationships and also form new ones. And in this case, there's no evidence that this business had any goodwill when they married. They married in 2000. He had the business for 10 years. And not every business has goodwill.
But it doesn't really matter if it's a wasting asset that needs to be renewed, and the only way to renew it is through his labor, and he's not compensating the community fully for his labor.
Correct. So during the entire marriage, he's doing this. The community is not being compensated. He's not setting aside a salary. And to the extent he claims that, oh, well, the business paid the community expenses, so that should, you know, compensate the community enough, this court rejected that argument in Lindemann because there was no separate segregation of, you know, income for, you know, the goodwill nurturing and all of the work that he did and whatever income might be inherent in the business. There was no segregation there, and the court...
Do you read Lindemann to require contemporaneous segregation, or would tracing be sufficient?
I think in Lindemann they said contemporaneous segregation, but, you know, certainly if there was some tracing, but there was no tracing involved here. And tracing was especially important in this case because he would first have to prove that this is how much the community was, you know, this is the amount of expenses that were paid by the business for the community this year. And then you'd also have to say, well, is that reasonable compensation? The problem, too, in this case is Steve Kessler testified that this is a business that was retaining large amounts of cash at the end of each year. You know, at the end of 2013, there was $135,000. At the end of 2014, there was $122,000. So, you know.
Was there an explanation, a business reason offered for that cash retention?
I don't believe there was, or at least not that I recall. But I think that
my days of litigating these kinds of cases, is my recollection, was that's a way to avoid paying Social Security tax on earnings that would be due if they were distributed, the money was distributed as earnings.
That could have been, but they didn't really discuss why there was retained earnings, other than the fact that it was there. And I think that's evidence that all of the business income was not spent on the family, that some of it was held back. And to the extent it was held back, some of that probably was community money because it was to, you know, pay for the efforts by the husband during the marriage. And in this case especially, I think with goodwill in terms of what was the value of the business, at the end of the marriage, the value of the business was $460,000, like more than 90% of that was goodwill. And when you look at it, it's like, what was the value of the business when they got married? We don't know what the value of the business is. I mean, and as far as I'm concerned, the evidence will show that there was no value because, first, the child support order that was entered in his prior divorce, which was only 4 months before the parties married, the worksheet shows there was zero business income and wages of $60,000. And goodwill, you know, the discussion of goodwill is this notion that there will be more income above what would be your reasonable salary. And at $60,000 for a CPA, 10 years of practice.
Well, does that worksheet really answer the question? Because the worksheet is only describing distributed income, not accrued income. The business could accrue income on goodwill or actually even receive it, but it wouldn't show up on his worksheet because it wasn't paid to him, but was instead retained by the business for any of a variety of reasons for which businesses retain earnings.
Well, I will say that's usually a point of contention in most of these child support cases, whether or not retained earnings should be included as income for purposes of child support, because child support income...
We wouldn't know that from looking at the worksheet.
No, you might not. But I would say, though, that to the extent this business had any value, certainly that evidence was available to the husband to provide because, you know, when you get divorced, you know, all assets are before the court. It has to be characterized and valued. And if
the findings of fact or the decree in the earlier divorce distribute the business to him and assign a value to it?
We don't know. It wasn't presented. And I would say that, you know, that was evidence that was certainly in his possession that he could have provided if he wanted to prove that this business had a value at the date of marriage and that he didn't do it. I think the presumption should be that it would have shown that there was zero value. And just to quickly address the third issue raised by the appellant about the financial obligations, I think it's clear from the trial court's findings, and even if you consider the financial declarations that were submitted to this court, he has far more income than the wife has in this situation, even after the payment of maintenance and child support. And for that basis, we'd also request that we be awarded attorney fees on appeal, unless the court has any further questions.
Thank you.
Your Honor, going back to the issue of goodwill, the court's finding in this case that that any goodwill was all based on Mr. Vandal's toil was completely at odds with the manner in which the value of the business was calculated.
How so?
Because what both experts did was say the way we
used an excess earnings methodology.
Exactly.
So they figure out a reasonable compensation, they subtract that, and when they capitalize whatever the remainder is.
Exactly.
And they use different capitalization rates based upon a different appreciation of risk.
Exactly. And but
so how does that help you any?
It helps us because when they calculate a reasonable salary, what they're saying is that is the measure of his toil. That is the measure of the work
he's doing. But he didn't pay himself that measure. He paid himself less, which means that he had some money sitting in the corporation that belonged to the community.
Well, I'm not sure why you're saying he paid himself less.
That's
because of the $70,000.
He didn't pay himself as much as the replacement salary, did he? The replacement salary amount that was used to calculate goodwill was a bigger number than the amount he paid himself as a W-2 salary each year, correct?
I am not sure of that one way or the other.
Well, assume I'm right. If I'm right, that means that money attributable to his toil, the replacement salary, stayed in the corporation and didn't get paid to the community.
I don't know that I have the answer to that because
isn't that kind of significant in the commingling argument?
I don't believe so, because we know from the experts that he was, the value of his business was based on the work that he didn't do, the work that was
flowing to him. No, the value of his business was based on goodwill. The goodwill was created by his labor. If he was fully compensated the community for that labor, you might have an argument. But if he doesn't fully compensate the community for that labor, his separate asset is retaining something that belongs to the community, the difference between the amount of the replacement salary and the amount he actually paid himself.
Just very briefly, he was amply compensating the community. I mean, all of his profit ended up, you know, eventually ended up being used on community.
His testimony was the community owed him all that money back because they were all loans. You don't need to answer that. That's a rhetorical statement.
All right. Thank you, Your Honor.